friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So to talk about the Newsom and Flacco trades, obviously we can get into Myles Garrett in the season he's having of Sumer Sports on the Fan Hotline. Lindsay Rhodes joins us right now. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Hi. Always got to go back to Myles Garrett, huh?
Well, yes. People haven't forgotten, but it turns out it aged very well for you.
Yes.
Okie doke.
You are the seer among seers. You're the prognosticator on this show because you were seeing it when no one else would, Lindsay.
That's hilarious. Well, I didn't see this trade coming. I think this is a fascinating trade. No, like I'm talking about the Campbell trade now. I feel like these are the types of trades that you don't really see that frequently in football. We're so used to seeing like a good guy at this position go for a different guy at a different position. It's not that often that you see like a straight corner for corner or, you know, like what's happening here? What's the evaluation that's different? But so I think it's a really fascinating one to dive into.
Well, did you think the Browns got the better end of this, or are you looking at this and saying, how did they get better here?
No, I think when you really look at it, there's definitely an argument to make that both sides maybe won for their different purposes. I think that from a Browns standpoint, I think it's clear that they're thinking about the future. I mean, you don't even need to look at this trade to know that that's the case. I think, you know, Greg Newsom's up for a new deal. He's going to be a free agent. There's uncertainty that goes along with that. Would they be able to bring him back? Did they want to? So this trade takes that uncertainty out of the mix and adds a cornerback that's already under contract. I mean, so it's one less thing that they have to allocate resources towards in the offseason. My guess is that there's also a bit of an evaluation gap on these two cornerbacks to a degree also. My guess is that Cleveland probably thinks there isn't as much difference between the two as maybe the Jags do. And I also think that the Browns are going to use him differently than the Jaguars did. The Jags are in zone coverage at the sixth highest rate, and the Browns are the 25th highest rate. So I think some of the ways in which you might see people dinging Campbell for his play this year, those sometimes are showing up in zone coverage, and I don't think that will be as much of an issue in Cleveland. So I think that for a lot of different reasons, it's easy to look at this and say, okay, like, you know, if we take the Jaguars and what they got out of it, put that completely aside, I think you could make an argument this was a very smart move on the Browns' part.
Lindsay Rhodes on the Fan Hotline there of Sumer Sports. So some fans are wondering, you mentioned, you know, thinking about the future. We're 5 weeks into the season. Does that equate to the Browns could be on the verge of tanking?
I don't know if I mean... How do I say this nicely? How do you figure out if they are? Like, to a degree, like, you would have to take some defensive pieces off the board, right, in order to make it egregious and obvious that that's what you're doing. I think, to a degree, you are playing a lot of young pieces, and with the idea that you're trying to get better as an offense in particular. But I think you could probably lose a lot of games even while trying to develop properly, if that makes sense. So I think, you know, you've got the two first-round picks. You've got the most draft capital in the entire league going into next year. I think that there's no doubt, even coming into the season, in a perfect world where Joe Flacco played well and he did not play well, but even in a perfect world, this is not a year that the Browns are going to go to the Super Bowl. You know, your best hope at the start of the season is that the Browns will be competitive. And so you started the year thinking about next year. And so I don't necessarily know that it's like that you could fully call it a tank. I think that it is, you're certainly rebuilding on offense. There's things that you want to glean from some of the younger players. Obviously, Gabriel's play will be evaluated the rest of the way, and you'll gain a lot of information about what you have in him, and be able to make decisions about what you want to do moving forward. It feels like the fact that they were able to trade Flacco and actually get a pick back is like chef's kiss. I mean, congratulations to Cleveland for being able to pull that off. I think what they're doing here is just collecting a bunch of lower round picks that they can probably package to move up in the draft to acquire depth. It feels like, you know, the Rams are a great example in the last few years of a team that just flipped a defense like so quickly. And my guess is, looking at the Browns, that they're probably trying to take a similar approach with the offense. And it sounds like they have the draft capital to do that. And so, you know, it's a good offensive tackle draft. There are some good wide receivers there. And then with those low round picks, you can just kind of just gather up a bunch of different people that you can put in camp and say, go compete. And, you know, darts at a dartboard increases the chance that some of them are going to hit. And so I think that you'll probably be looking at a better Browns team next year than this year. And that's always the goal.
Two trades this week. What does your brain tell you is going to happen with trades moving forward?
Well, I mean, we're still a ways out from the trade deadline, which is the other fascinating part of this. Like, it's, I mean, this is an aside, but it just feels like this whole time of year has gotten so much more fun in the last few years. And I think it's driven by a lot of the younger general managers who are sometimes a little bit more into analytics and less like beholden to think that those draft picks are gold and they never want to part with them. They're like, they're playing chess out there and it's super fun. And so I think if stuff comes up where there's an opportunity to move a few more pieces or pick up a couple of more draft picks without really dramatically downgrading the play on the field this year in a way that would impact them in the future, right? Like I think that this cornerback trade is a perfect example of a way that you can kind of move some pieces around on the board without it actually hurting you on the field. I don't think that this is necessarily, like I said earlier, a downgrade at corner. I think it's just a way to maybe fill a hole that you would leave behind by taking Newsom out of the defense, but also not in a way like you're this guy Campbell has a deal for the next few years. So you're signing on for him to be your cornerback. That's a big position, right? And so I think that if there are moves that come up in the next few weeks that are similar to this one, where you can move things around in a way that doesn't hurt your chances down the road, then I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do that.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Lindsay, 6 years in, who do you think has done a better job? Kevin Stefanski at his job or Andrew Berry at his?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I think both of them have played with one hand behind their back for a good majority of this time, to be honest with you. And that might not be the answer that people want to hear in Cleveland. But I feel like the whole Deshaun Watson thing just makes the evaluation of both of those people so hard. And maybe I would argue it has made it harder for Barry because of the capital that was sent away, the amount of financial resources that were invested in Watson. And when that doesn't go well, and I think what I'm essentially saying here is that I believe that there's evidence that points to maybe it wasn't 100% their call that they made this move with Watson. I think we have good reason to believe that, and that's why they've been given a few years post Watson to kind of figure this out, despite the fact that they haven't had success on the field. I think there's a concession a little bit that's like, this isn't your fault. I'm going to give you time to figure your way out of this mess. So I think it makes that evaluation pretty hard. I might lean towards Barry a little bit.
Lindsay, are the Steelers good?
That feels like such a loaded question. My short answer is going to be no. I think that they are probably, I view them as a team that is probably going to be exactly what they have been for the last few years, which Steelers fans hate, which is a team that hovers right around 500, ends up just above 500, isn't really a team that can make a push in the playoffs. I don't see any reason to believe that they are not that. I think the thing that data tells you about aging quarterbacks is that the average depth of target comes down. He has, Aaron Rodgers, the lowest average depth of target in the entire NFL right now. His average depth of target is 5.
So, oh, wow, lower than Joe's was when he was here for the 4 weeks.
It's wild. So, so when that starts to happen, zooming out in terms of older quarterbacks, one of the trends that we see is that one of two things happen, and it's not always both. It's either the average depth of target comes down because the arm just can't do what it once did, but you want to keep the accuracy up, and so you lower the A dot, and then every once in a while they can throw it downfield and make a big play, but you're not asking them to do that frequently. Or the average depth of target stays up where it's always been, and they're still slinging it. This was Peyton Manning at the end. He was still slinging it, but his accuracy was all over the place, and his completion percentage over expected tanked that last year that he was on the field. So there's one of two things usually comes down. And in the case of Aaron Rodgers, it's been the average depth of target. I just don't see a way that you're going to get through the rest of the season knowing that they have to somewhat keep it close to the line and not find defenses that can go, I know exactly what to do against this. And so I tend to think that, no, they're not particularly good. Like I said, I think we're probably looking at a 500 or slightly above 500 team there.
Lindsay, is the AFC really this wide open, or by the end of the season, is it going to be the same 4, 5, 6 players that it always is?
That's a tricky one. I think one of the biggest stories this year so far has been the AFC South, right? Like, I mean, the fact that you've got Indy and you've got Jacksonville and then honestly, to a degree, Houston, which I think we all assume is going to be in the mix. Indy has, I think, scoring differential, and there's no doubt that early in the season, smaller sample size that will widen out. Their strength of schedule has not been the hardest in the league, but for the last few weeks, they've played some pretty good teams, and they've continued to stay competitive in a way where I think you have to sort of take them seriously, or more seriously than maybe we did through 3 weeks. But they're number one in the league in scoring differential. They have outscored their opponents by 74 points. Number two in the AFC in that category is Houston, sitting in the 9 seed right now at 2-3 with a plus 47 scoring differential. And then you've got Jacksonville at plus 27 in the 5 seed right now. Like, that's the biggest surprise of the year. We thought that division was trash coming into the year. And so the fact that Indianapolis has found a way, in particular, I think, to be as competitive as they have, and they've done what they've done with Daniel Jones. The other story of the year, I think, has been the veteran quarterbacks and the bucket that he belongs to in that category, just really exceeding expectations. Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold are 1, 2, and 4 in total EPA on the season. And I think all of them are kind of putting together a really interesting story of the retread quarterback, you know, being something that we might need to look into a little bit more deeply. But so I do think that the Chiefs, I am not comfortable writing them off regardless. They're going to get Rashee Rice back. And I think that their schedule in the early going has been really tough. The Ravens' schedule in the early going has been wild. My concern with them is that they're sitting at 1-4 and they've got a game against the Rams coming up this week. And I just think there's a strong possibility, especially if Lamar's not on the field, which it looks like he's not going to be, that they're 1-5. I just don't know if that's too deep of a hole, even though the schedule eases up for them after this week. I don't know if that's too deep a hole to dig yourselves out of. So I think the schedule makers and then obviously the injuries that they suffered on top of that did them absolutely no favors.
Lindsay, great stuff as always. See, we didn't mention Myles Garrett one more time, except right then when I mentioned it.
I'm going to let us end on that. He's good.
All right, so we're going to put the headline here.
He's good.
Lindsey Rhodes says, bleep that contract, still trade Miles.
You're so in depth with your analysis and everything, we could just do Lindsey thinks Miles is good at football.
Yeah. If we were friends, that's what we would do.
Boil it down to the simplest possible analysis.
Why
you could have.
Why do you have that stupid chick on? No duh.
Lindsey, great stuff. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Lindsey Rhodes, Sumer Sports on the Fan Hotline.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.